you would. Open up your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians, and we're actually going to be looking at two different sets of verses in the book of 2 Corinthians. If you don't have a Bible, just reach right there in front of you. There should be one in the pew there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in the New Testament, but then we're going to flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we'll start out in 2 Corinthians 11. So if you'll all stand, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 30. And then we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just a few pages back from there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. The Bible says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes, above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times receive I 40 stripes, save one." I don't know why he couldn't have just said 39. Amen. And "thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities." Wow, this guy had a lot of things that happened to him. Now let's flip back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're just going to look at two verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. "Now in this same book was penned by the same man, right before he said that, this is what he said. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And this morning, I want to preach for just a little bit on this, our light affliction. Our light affliction. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today, Lord, and thank you for your love for us. And Lord, even in struggles, Lord, in great struggles like we see from Paul here, we see, Lord, that really, in reality, it is a light affliction in comparison. Lord, we thank you for all that you do, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, these are two unusual, and really, if you kind of look at them, they even seem somewhat contradictory in a sense, because here Paul is saying, boy, I tell you what, I've been shipwrecked and I've been jailed and I've been imprisoned and I've been beat up by friends and I've been beat up by enemies and I've had problems here and problems there and all sorts of things. And then you go back and he calls all of these things that happened to him a light affliction. Wow. You've been through all this, And you consider it a light affliction? Then right before giving that list, we see that. What in the world was he talking about? I mean, think about this list. Let's go over it again. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was robbed. He was cast out of the synagogue. He had troubles in the sea, in the wilderness, and even among the brethren. He was worn out. Many times it says he went for food or was left to the elements as he traveled from place to place. And I'm sure if we knew everything that Paul went through, these are just the things that he tells us that he went through. I'm sure if we knew everything that Paul went through in his travels, I think we'd probably be pretty shocked. Then he calls it, of course, a light affliction. Was he crazy? Then we read a little further on, And we've got to remember that all this that Paul did, he did by choice. He chose. He chose to do these things. He didn't choose to have the affliction, but he chose to continue going on for the Lord. He was at one time, if you remember, Paul was a Pharisee. And as a Pharisee, Paul was against what was going on with the Christians. He was very high in the Jewish religion. He was very well known. He was taught by one of the greatest teachers in Judaism of the time, a man by the name of Gamaliel. I mean, he was well known. He got authority from the high priest. He got authority to go out and capture Christians and jail them for what they were preaching. They thought it was sacrilege because Jesus had equated himself with God. And Jesus had said, I and my Father are one. And to them, he was calling himself the Messiah. How dare he do that? How dare he say that this is the Messiah? And how dare he preaches against the sins of Israel? Why, that's not what the Messiah is supposed to do. The Messiah was supposed to come and save them and make them this perfect nation, is what they had assumed. And so Paul would go out and he would persecute Christians until one day on the road to Damascus, and the Lord speaks to him, and he hears the voice of the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he gets saved. And his life begins to change. His life begins to change, and he realizes that Jesus Christ is the truth. Once he got saved, he knew that he had a lot of lost time to make up. That's why Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. Let me tell you what, I was not raised in a strong Christian home. I was not raised in a good Christian home. I know some other people were not saved until later in life. Just curiously in here, how many folks in here were saved not as children, but they were saved either later in life or saved as adults? Would you raise your hand? Wow, quite a few folks saved as adults. So guess what that means? As adults, we realize that we've got some lost time to make up. We've got some lost time to make up because we didn't grow up and with the knowledge and the understanding of Jesus Christ. And I think that's what Paul felt like. And God turned him around and he ended up becoming one of the greatest warriors. And some may say that all he went through was not by choice because it was appointed by God. But he still had to accept the call. Paul still had to say, I'm willing to go and preach the gospel. So we see that. We think about the millions who died during the Reformation period of history. We think about that period of time. We think about people through times, families who were tortured, burned at the stake, or beheaded. Boy, I tell you what. What a horrible thing. Yet all of these, I believe, if asked, they would consider it to be a light affliction. Why? Because they did it for a purpose. Let me tell you what. I'm not going to deny Jesus Christ. I would hope that if somebody came in that back door and they came in and they said, you have to deny Jesus Christ or you will die. I would hope that I would have enough guts to say, I'm not going to deny Jesus Christ. I would hope that I would be willing to say, I'm not going to do that. You say, would you let your family die just for a statement? Just for something that somebody wants you to say? Let me tell you what. They may be able to take my dignity, but they can't take Jesus Christ from me. because I'm saved. They might be able to take my family and who's to know what they're going to do anyway. Boy, I tell you, I would hope that I would stand for the Lord. Let's look back, though, at the verses and see what Paul was talking about. Flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to get down to verse 29. And I want you to see here what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 29. Look what Paul said. He said, "Who is weak? And I am not weak?" He's asking a question here. He's not making a statement. You see the question mark at the end there. Who is weak? And I'm not weak? He said, "I've had all this stuff done to me. He said, "I am wore out. I am wore out for Christ. I am wore out for the Lord. I am weary. I am absolutely wore out." He said, "Who is offended?" And he said, "And I burn not?" He said, "I'm not burned out for the Lord. I'm not any less excited about the things of the Lord now than I was from the beginning." He said, "Am I weak physically?" But I bet he was so wore out. I bet he was tired. I mean, at one point, he was as close to death as you could be. As a matter of fact, they even counted him for dead. They thought he was dead at one point. That's how much Paul suffered. Paul said, "If anybody would be burnt out for the Lord, I'm burnt out." Basically, he said, though, "I've given up everything, but I'm not going to glory in myself." He said, "I'm going to glory in my infirmities." In verse 31, he said, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know what he's saying? Any pain we go through for the Lord is worth it. Is worth it. We may not be able to see it now. We may not like it, but this one thing I know, that no matter how hard life is, if you're wearing yourself out for the Lord, you know that God's great. You know that God's great. Those of you know, a couple of years ago, we had a rough probably 2 years here in this church. And I'm not just saying with things that I suffered with. Those of you know the things that I went through and some personal issues that I went through. And I'm not bragging it all on me. I'm not doing that. I'm giving it back to the Lord. But there's a lot of people out there that have come to me and come to Mrs. Hulo and say, "I don't know how you guys kept going through everything that happened in those couple of years. I just don't know how you guys just didn't raise your hand up and quit." Let me tell you what. We didn't quit because we knew that God is real. And we saw in the end, over and over and over again, how good God is. And as a result of seeing how good God is, we were able to share with others how good God was. Every once in a while, you hear me brag on Miss Diane, who she had a pretty rough time for about a year and a half. And how she had a rough time. And it was after we had a rough time. But if Miss Hulo and I would have given up because of the suffering we went through for about a 2 year period of time, when we stood up here and I stood behind that pulpit and I said, "No matter what happens, God is good." And then 6 months to a year later, here comes Miss Diane. You know what Miss Diane said? Go ahead, Miss Diane. "God is good." Hold on a minute. Had I quit, how much easier would it have been for her to say, "I quit"? But as a result, she's able to say, "God is good." Now, wait a minute. Is that because of what Brother Hulo did? Or is that because of what Miss Diane saw, how good God was through getting us through struggles in life, and she said, "You know what? that same God that was good to Brother Yulo, that same God is good to me too. And I could go story by story, in here of people who have had hard times and who people have been through affliction and people have been through trials, and they turn around and they say, wait a minute, God is good. Well, wait a minute. What does Jesus say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what God's saying? Take on my burden. Okay? I wish I would have thought to get two large weights in here this morning. But if you will, picture, if you will, my weight, my burden. Let's say I have a 10-pound weight, Danny. And I have a 10-pound weight, and that's my burden that I'm carrying around with me all the time. Carrying around a 10-pound weight. And Jesus says to me, take my burden, or take my yoke upon you. So Jesus says, hold on, here's the answer. Take on Jesus' burden. Now to some you would think, well, wait a minute. I've already got my own burden here. I've got my burden here. You take on Jesus' burden too. I've got more of a burden. I've got a greater burden. Now I've got all my problems, and now I've got all the problems of the church and all the problems of the Lord and all the problems of the ministry and all the problems of telling others about Christ. So now not only do I have my burden, but I have Jesus Christ's burden. But that's not really how it works. You know what happens? When you take on Christ's burden, he takes on yours. That's the difference. See, so many times we're so weighted down with our problems. We're weighted down with the stress of life, and the stress of this world, and the stress of everything that's going on. And I can't get through this, and I can't get through this. And oh man, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. And they come to Brother Yulo, and Brother Yulo says, you know what you need to start doing? You need to start serving the Lord. You need to start doing something for God. Are you kidding me? I've got enough of my own burdens. I can't add serving God on top of it. I can't do that more. Well, hold on a minute. Yes, you can. You know why? Because your burden is heavy, and the yoke of the Lord, the Bible says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, our affliction is light if we learn to be also to be humble in our service. Paul was not a bragger, but yet Paul even said a few times when he was talking about his ministry and things that he does in the ministry. You remember, Brother Duck, when we just talked about this a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, Paul said, well, here, I'm going to tell you all that I've done. And then what did Paul say? I boast not. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on what God has done. You see, Paul considered himself to be a great sinner. Paul was one of the greatest Christians in the New Testament. He wrote and penned more of the New Testament than anyone else. He is the father of missions as we know it. He is responsible for getting the gospel out to the whole world, and we know that. But listen to what the Bible says. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And then he said this, of whom I am chief. Boy, I tell you what, a as we look into the next chapter in 2 Corinthians. Look into 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verses 6 and verse 7. I want you to see this, what Paul says. Paul said, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." You know what he's saying? People say, "And that Paul, he's a great guy. Paul, he's a great guy." Every once in a while, I'll hear from somebody in the Patriot Guard. One of my friends here this morning, Juju, amen. Brother Juju will say, "Man, Brother Yulo, you're a great guy. Man, Brother Yulo, man, I love you, Brother Yulo. I appreciate you being here with the Patriot Guard." And he'll say that to me every once in a while. But wait a minute. Am I really a great guy? Or do I have a great God? I've got a great God, which allows me to be the great guy that I am. Huh? No, I've got a great God. I've got a great God, amen. But let's go back. Look what Paul said here. "For though I would desire to glory," he said, "though I'd like to lift myself up," he said, "I shall not be a fool. For I'll say the truth, and now I forbear, lest any man should think me above that which he seeth me to be, or that that he heareth of me." And look what he says in verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing," he said, "I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said," that is the Lord said, "my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know why it's so easy for me to remain humble? Because I know what I am. Know what I was, and I know where the Lord has brought me. I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I'm a sinner, and every once in a while, I'm reminded of it. And that's how God gave Paul humility. Paul was a very intelligent man. And like I said, he was trained by one of the most noted men in Israel. He was one of the highest sects of the Pharisees. He was highly respected. He was highly educated. Yet when he was saved, God humbled him so that he could use him. And let me say this, some of the most humble people I know have great wisdom and have given themselves wholly in labor for the Lord. But if you would ask them about their service for the Lord, they would weep and they would say this, "I've not done enough for God. I wish I could do so much more. Boy, there's so much more for the Lord I'd like to do. Here I am. We've been here at Bible Baptist Church for about 9 years now. We've been here. Well, I tell you what, I'd love nothing more, Miss Nita, than to have that building over there that you keep talking about. Amen. I'd love nothing more than to have a bunch of Sunday school classes for kids and for teenagers and for adults, and to have a choir every Sunday, and to have all that. But you know, God has made Bible Baptist grow slowly. A little at a time. A little at a time. A little at a time. Not grow big, not grow huge. And I think part of the reason is because that keeps me humble, Brother Paul. It doesn't allow me to say, "Woo, look what I've built. Look at this great big church I've built. Look at all these people that come to see Brother Yulo preach every Sunday. Man, Miss Jan, look how awesome I am." No, that's not what needs to happen. You know what God has done? God has said, Eulo, slow it down. Listen to me. Keep the preaching right. Stay with the Bible. Stay with the Word of God. And you let me do my job. Stay humble. But that doesn't mean I won't be lifted up. Because look at James chapter 4 and verse 10. The Bible says this for those that would humble themselves. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what? He shall lift you up. He shall lift you up. Well, I tell you what, even if that day doesn't come until I get to heaven, even if that day doesn't come until the rapture happens and I get to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ and a crown is given to me and I say, no, I don't deserve this. And I cast the crown back at Jesus Christ's feet. You see, we need to humble ourselves. Well, I'm a Christian. So you know what that means? Here's what it looks like to a lot of people. Well, hold on a minute. I got to get my big thumping Bible. Amen. I'm a Christian. So, therefore, I'm better than everybody else. Is that the attitude we should take? No. We're not better. I'm just as much of a sinner as anybody else is. I can't lift myself up. I have to bow myself before a God that's mighty and righteous and perfect. The Bible says that my iniquities are as filthy, or I'm sorry, my righteousness because of my iniquities are as filthy rags compared to the righteousness of God. That's how perfect God is. That's how perfect God is. You see, we need to be humble. Our affliction is light because His grace is great. Paul had to come a long way and he had to put up with a lot of pressure at this point of his ministry. And his greatest burden was not the burden of all the things that happened for him. His greatest burden was the care for the churches. He didn't need anything to hinder that work. He didn't want anything to slow him down. And he had what he called a thorn in the flesh. Now, historically, most people would say that this thing that Paul prayed about was probably an eye problem. That's probably what it was. Did it occur as a result of his encounter with the Lord on the road of Damascus? I don't know. But I do know that he asked the Lord three times to take it away from him. And the Lord made it clear to Paul, I'm not going to take this particular affliction away from you. Three times. I know a lot of people who have a lot of health problems. And here's what you may say. Why does God allow me? If God's good, why does He allow me to have health problems? My wife, I don't even remember, Miss Eulah, we counted a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember how many pills you take a day. Every morning, my wife has a plastic bag that she fills before she goes to work with all her pills. And I call them her M&Ms. Because it's like she's got a whole bag of M&Ms. She takes four shots a day. And on Fridays, she takes a fifth shot. Now, that's not Jack Daniels, amen. Let's make that clear. Yeah, Miss Eulah's pounding them down when she gets home after work. No, shots of insulin. Let's make that clear, amen. You know, wait a minute. That is as fine of a woman as you'll ever meet. She stayed with me for 30 years. Amen. She's got a greater burden than diabetes. Amen. But wait a minute. Why does God allow her to be so sick all the time? How many times have you seen Miss Yulo come to church? Especially you ladies who are aware. How many times have you seen her come to church and she's just absolutely wore out because of sickness and diabetes? Let me ask you this. How often do you see her not here? She's always here. She's always faithful. Now, tomorrow she may be pounding down those four shots. You know, but I use her as an example because I think that's a perfect example in this story here. How God has given her an affliction and God has put that on her, but yet she continues to serve God. Why does she do that? For the same reason Paul did. The same reason what God said unto Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." I don't know that she glories too much in that diabetes, amen. But he said this, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me." In Paul's affliction, he received the grace of God, which allowed him the power of Christ. I'm not going to ask God for any afflictions. I can tell you that this morning. I'm not going to ask God for any more problems. But if he gave me one, I would gladly keep it so that I'd have the power to do God's work. I'm telling you, I praise God. I praise God for my health, and I praise God for the strength that He gives me. And even in my most stressed moments, I can be assured that my affliction is light because God's grace is great. I'd keep going. Let me tell you what, I don't know how many days when I was at home after my motorcycle accident, I don't know how many times I would get up in the morning and I would tell my wife, "I'm going to church today. I'm going to church today." You guys saw that big stupid device I had on my arm, and I said, "I'm going to church today." And Miss Eula would turn and look at me and she'd say, "How you getting there?" I wanted to be here. I wanted to be here. The first time I came, I don't remember this, but the first time I came, I sat up here, and people were telling me that I was literally falling over in the seat. Is that really true? that I was falling over in the seat. I don't remember that happening, but I've had people tell me that that happened. You know, why? Because I wanted to be here. I wanted to be here at church, and I wanted to be with God's people, and I wanted to still be your pastor, and I still wanted to be your preacher, and even though I still was, but I just couldn't be what I needed to be. But even in my most stressed moments, I knew that God was good. You see, our affliction is light because it has a purpose. I heard a story once that I just have to add to the message. A young man was watching a butterfly come out of its cocoon. Any of y'all ever see that? We used to take monarch butterflies. Y'all know what a monarch butterfly is? We used to take monarch butterflies, and it would attach themselves to the bottom of milkweed. And we would put them in a jar, and we'd poke holes in the top of the jar, and eventually that monarch butterfly would attach itself, or whether the caterpillar there, the woolly bear caterpillar, would attach itself eventually to the cap of that jar and form the cocoon. And it was the neatest thing to watch as that cocoon eventually opened up and turned into a butterfly, and we would open it up and let the butterfly fly away, or if you were a little boy and we pulled its wings off and did things like that. And I was a bad kid. I'm sorry, I was one of those terrible kids, amen. But anyway, I've got to get back to the story now that I've totally distracted it with my heathenism, amen. But one time there was a little boy who was watching that. And he opened the jar up and he said, "I'm going to help this butterfly get out of the cocoon. So he went and took a small pair of scissors and clipped the cocoon. And as he did, the butterfly that was all wrapped up fell and unfortunately died. Now, why did the butterfly die? Because God placed that butterfly in that cocoon on purpose. And in doing it, it had to force its way out. And in doing that, it would that forcing its way out, that struggle, strengthened that butterfly and prepared them for what they needed to be able to fly and take flight and do that. We see many times a young horse as it's born and as it struggles and tries to lift itself up on its feet, and it's a terrible thing to watch it struggle, or a terrible thing to watch a bird struggle as they're coming out of their egg. But wait a minute. In each of those cases, you should leave them alone. Why? Because struggle is necessary. Struggle is necessary to strengthen us. Struggle is necessary to help us. Failure is necessary. Why? Because without failure, we wouldn't know how to win. I hate that everybody gets a trophy. I hate that. No. You know what second place is? First place loser. That's right. Oh, no. No, that's second place. No, you didn't win. You didn't win. There's only one that won. Yeah, but I was second. Okay, do you know what being second should cause you to do? It should cause you to work harder so that you can be first. That's what second should do. And you know what third place and fourth place and fifth place should do? It should cause you to work harder so that you can move up and move up and get better and get better and get better. And do you know what struggle in life is? Struggle in life is God's way of saying to you, I'm allowing this to happen. First of all, to keep you humble. And second of all, to strengthen you. And in that strengthening of you, people will see that strength in you so that my grace is shown so that they can see an example of how good God is to you. Boy, see, it's a struggle of freeing that butterfly which caused him to strengthen his legs and enable him to walk and fly. Many times we avoid struggles in our life. We complain about afflictions. But maybe God knows what he's doing. Maybe he's trying to make you stronger so that you can perform his purpose. Paul was a little tough on the church. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 19. Look what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 19. He said, again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things dearly beloved. Why? For your edifying. God has a purpose for everything he does. You know what that purpose is? It's to make you better, Bobby. It's to make you better. It's to allow you to be better. It's allowed you to be stronger. It's to allow you to be closer to God. And maybe that's why God allows us to have those struggles and afflictions. I can't explain every person's afflictions in their life. But I can tell you that God knows what he's doing. We have struggle. We have it on purpose. Struggle makes us stronger. And all of this, and all of us will face affliction in life. But we can be assured that no matter what affliction we have, God's good. God is great. And that our affliction is light because it has a purpose that makes us stronger. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, Paul said, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, say it with me, then am I strong. That's why we have affliction in life, because God wants us to get stronger. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I went around the pole several times this morning to get to the point. But Lord, we've got to realize that life is hard. We're not perfect, but we know you're good, God, and we know you know what you're doing. And I don't know what anybody is struggling with this morning. I don't know what anybody is dealing with this morning. But God, I do know that you know what you're doing.